So today I'm going to do a teaching on Yom Kippur. I'm going to do a teaching on the Day of Atonement because Jesus is our Yom Kippur. He is our Day of Atonement. And it's amazing when what you're going to learn. So if you would, open your Bibles to the book of Leviticus. You're going to turn to Leviticus 16. And I'm going to read to you some large portions, and then I'm going to go back and go over what I've read with you, because I'm going to do just about the entire chapter. Now, I'm not going to preach on the entire chapter. You all know me. I can't do more than 5 or 6 verses at any good sitting. Okay? I have too much to say. So we're going to take this in big chunks. We're going to look at what's going on here from Leviticus, beginning in the 16th chapter in the first verse. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they had approached the presence of the Lord and died. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell your brother Aaron that he shall not enter at any time into the holy place inside the veil, before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, or he will die, for I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat. Aaron shall enter the holy place with this, with a bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen tunic, and the linen undergarments shall be next to his body, and he shall be girded with the linen sash and attired with the linen turban. These are holy garments. Then he shall bathe his body in water and put them on. He shall take from the congregation of the sons of Israel 2 male goats for a sin offering and 1 ram for a burnt offering. Then Aaron shall offer the bull for the sin offering, which is for himself, that he may make atonement for himself and for his household. He shall take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Aaron shall cast lots for the 2 goats, 1 lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. Then Aaron shall offer the goat on which the lot for the Lord fell and make it a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot for the scapegoat fell shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it, to send it into the wilderness as the scapegoat." When you look at this, you know, a lot of us think, oh, it's just more offerings. You know, the Israelites had so many offerings that they were supposed to do. And what makes this one any different than any of the others? Well, I taught this a little while ago, and a lot of our folks didn't know it. In fact, several of our elders did not know it. There was no sin, or there was no offering for purposeful sin up until this time. When God set up the sacrificial system and he ordered what they were to give for sin offering, every time a person would offer up an animal for a sin offering, it was for unintentional sin, not for purposeful sin. God did not make a way to get rid of purposeful sin at this point, until this time. Because purposeful sin is complete and total rebellion against God. God was giving grace to the people by giving them a sacrificial system which allowed them to cleanse themselves of unknown sin. In other words, how many of us in the course of our day may do something that truly is offensive to God, but we aren't even aware that it's offensive to God yet because we've not grown up in our faith enough to know that it's an offense? So therefore, God says, since you are not understanding, I'll give you a way out from under those sins. But if you sin purposefully against me, you can't offer a sacrifice. Where does that come from? That comes all the way from the very first book in Genesis. Adam and Eve could not bring a sacrifice for their rebellion. Who brought the sacrifice? God did. God made a way where there was no way. Because once that union was broken, only God could restore it. So therefore, God took a lamb, and he killed the lamb, and he clothed Adam and Eve with the skin thereof. The blood was shed for the first time, setting up the sacrificial system. Do we know they used sacrifice? Yes, they understood sacrifice. They used sacrifice. From that time, we see it happening. We know it happened because history records it. But God did not give the law of sacrifice until this point in time. And up until this point in time, there was no sacrifice for purposeful sin. So Miss Eva, and I want you to think this through with me. If you unintentionally sinned and you didn't know it, you could get rid of your sin, right? You could do a sacrifice and get rid of it. Could you do anything about your purposeful rebellion? So what did that mean? If you could not get rid of your sin of purposeful rebellion, where was your relationship between you and God? You're separated. No matter how much sacrifice would happen, there would never be enough sacrifice because the only one who can remove sin, purposeful sin from us, is God Himself. So what did God do? I think this is an amazing thing. I want you to look at this. Aaron, who was the priest, and his family, which represented God to the people, what did they have to sacrifice? Was it a calf? Was it a lamb? What was it? A bull. How big is a bull? We're not talking a little critter, are we? For all of Israel, what did they have to sacrifice? Bull. Two goats and a ram. Bull. Two goats and a ram. Bull. Two goats and a ram. You getting the picture? Who needed to be atoned for more? Those who represented God and purposefully sinned. There had to be more of a sacrifice for them. But God gave them two different types of sacrifice because He gave them the blood sacrifice, okay, and then He gave them a scapegoat. And we're going to talk about those two and just what do they represent. How in the world does Jesus represent both the scapegoat and the blood sacrifice? Because He is both of them. But we have to understand some things about this, okay? Because I want you to understand that unless God cleanses us of our sins through the blood of Christ and through the scapegoat, which I'm going to show you here in a little while, there is no sacrifice for our sins because we can't do anything. God has to do it all. And thank God that we live in a day where we can have communion with Him the very same day we do a purposeful sin. Amen, Miss Eva? I mean, think about it. Here you are, you're in Israel, and you have sinned, purposely rebelled against God, and you die before the Day of Atonement. What did you just do? You just died in your sin. Is there any forgiveness for you? Steve's over here shaking his head, no. Some of you are standing around like, Beg pardon? You see, Brother Wendell understands something that some of these people didn't understand either. Remember, the Scripture says, before the foundations of the earth, Jesus Christ crucified. So if they had true faith in God, even in this day, they had forgiveness in Christ, the Messiah who was yet to come. But these people were so wrapped up, many of these people were so wrapped up in their religious practice that they thought their religion was going to set them free. And I'm here to tell the church, it ain't about religion, it's about relationship. Amen? And we need to remember, you can come to church every Sunday and you can put your money in the offering and you can say your amens, hallelujahs, and whatever else. I'll guarantee you, if your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are not going to forge it in there. Because only God can make that sacrifice. How does Jesus then become our sacrifice? How did Jesus become their sacrifice? Well, I want us to look at that, okay? Here we go, moving on from verse 11. Oh, and by the way, you know Pastor's ready for this one, right? See the big blocks of color? All right, Pastor's ready for this one. Here we go. Then Aaron shall offer the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his household. And he shall slaughter the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself. He shall take a fire pan full of coals of fire from upon the altar before the Lord, and two handfuls of finely ground sweet incense, and bring it inside the veil. He shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the ark of testimony. Otherwise, he will die. In other words, he's got to take incense in there, burn incense, and cloud everything up so God can't see him. Because if God sees him, if God sees sin before him, he will die. So God says, bring the cloud of incense in, because incense is holy, all right? And God doesn't see the priest. God sees the incense, and the incense appeases him while we come into his presence. You see, we need something to cover us up, brothers and sisters. We need something to cover us up, and that something is Jesus Christ, for he is the fragrance of life to those who are dying, and he is the fragrance of death to those who are dying, and he is the fragrance of life to those who are coming to life. And you and I know that for a fact, because when we walk into a new day, I don't know about you folks, but you know, I love the springtime and I love the fall time. You walk out there and you take a good deep breath of the air, what do you smell? Life. Life. That's the incense of Christ. And it still permeates our land. And we need to remember, you know, God sees us, it's death. But if God sees his Son, if God sees that sweetness of heaven, it is a covering. And Jesus is our covering. Moving forward. Moreover, he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat of the east side. Also in the front of the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Then he shall slaughter the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, and bring its blood inside the veil, and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat, and in front of the mercy seat. He shall make atonement for the holy place because of the impurities of the sons of Israel, and because of their transgressions in regard to all their sins. And thus he shall do it for the tent of meeting, which abides with them in the midst of their impurities. When he goes in to make atonement in the holy place, no one shall be in the tent of meeting until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself and for his household and for all the assembly of Israel. Then he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull and of the blood of the goat and put it on the horns of the altar and on its sides. With his fingers he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it seven times and cleanse it from the impurities of the sons of Israel and consecrate it. Dear brothers and sisters, everything we've just read there, they're going to take the blood, they're going to take the blood, they're going to take the blood. Jesus said to his disciples, don't hang on to me until I get into heaven, because I have not made pure the things that need to be made pure. Jesus was telling us when he died on the cross of Calvary, he needed to take his own blood into heaven and make atonement for ourselves before God. He had to cleanse the temple with a pure everlasting blood that does not perish, for he is the blood of life itself. The blood of bulls only lasts a year. No, it only lasts one sin. But the blood of Christ lasts forever because his life is eternal. The blood of a bull is used up once and done. But the blood of Christ is an eternal blood, that when he went into heaven, when he left them and he ascended into heaven and he sprinkled the altar and he sprinkled the temple and he sprinkled the Holy of Holies. Remember, look what everything... Aaron had to go into the Holy of Holies, start there, and work his way out until he was at the furthest point, until he was at the end of the limit of the temple. Because now he had made atonement. He had brought that sin sacrifice and cleansed everything that was God's. All the sin of the people. I want you to think about this. Because here are all these people, all these folks filled with iniquity, and they're flooding God's place. All their sin is coming in. All their sin is coming in before God. How holy was that place anymore? It wasn't. It was a holy mess. It was a holy mess because of all their sin. And so too is this world. And as Christ apportions His blood for us on the cross of Calvary, He cleanses the temple of heaven, and that temple is pure forever. We never have to pull another sacrifice because the living one has been sacrificed, the one who is life. And that leads us to the scapegoat, because we've seen how this blood sacrifice is needed, all right? God tells us that a blood sacrifice, there is no forgiveness for sins without blood. So God has cleansed us from our sins, but what does He do with them? What does He do with them? Because they're still there. He's got to do something with them. I've told you this story, but now I want you to read it for real. Verse 20. When He finishes anointing for the holy place and the tent of meeting and the altar, He shall offer the live goat. Then Aaron shall lay both of his hands on the head of the goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the sons of Israel and all their transgressions in regard to all their sins. And he shall lay them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who stands in readiness. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to a solitary land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. Then Aaron will come into the tent of meeting and take off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. He shall bathe his body with water in a holy place, and put on his clothes, and come forth, and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people, and make atonement for himself and for the people. Then he shall offer up in smoke the fat of the sin offering on the altar. The one who released the goat as the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his body with water. Then afterward he shall come into the camp. But the bull of the sin offering and the goat of the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be taken outside the camp, and they shall be burnt, their hides, their flesh, and their refuse in the fire. Then the one who burns them shall wash his clothes and bathe his body with water. Then afterward he shall come into the camp. This shall be a permanent statute for you in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month. You shall humble your souls and not do any work, whether the native or the alien who sojourns among you. For on this day the atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you. You will be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is to be a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, that you may humble your souls. It is a permanent statute. So the priest who is anointed and ordained to serve as priest in his father's place shall make atonement. He shall thus put on the linen garments, the holy garments, and make atonement for the holy sanctuary. And he shall make atonement for the tent of meeting and for the altar. And he shall, he shall also make atonement for the priests and for all the people of the assembly. Now you shall have this as a permanent statute to make atonement for the sons of Israel for all their sins once every year, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. So he did. When we think about this portion of the Scriptures, when you think about the scapegoat, and what does the scapegoat mean? Well, the scapegoat was a live goat, right? So it couldn't be a dead offering. How does Jesus become the scapegoat when he died on the cross of Calvary? I've told you all this story. Because you have to remember, when Jesus went into hell, he went into hell with all our sins upon him, because the crown of thorns was laid upon his head. How many hands does it take to put a crown of thorns on a person? Two hands. And our sins were laid upon him. And Christ descended into hell. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead. Because you see, while he was there, we understand something from the Scriptures, because it tells us in the Scriptures that while he was in hell, he was preaching to those who were there about who he was. Because what he did was he went down into hell, and Satan thought he won. Can you imagine how Satan felt? Here's Jesus. He's coming down into Hades. All right. And he's got all our sin on us, so he didn't go to Sheol. Okay? He did not go he went to Sheol, because in Sheol is Abraham's bosom and Hades. Hades is hell. So as he entered Sheol, he didn't go to Abraham's bosom. He went to hell because our sin was upon him. But when he got there, something miraculous happened. Because you see, at that moment, that's when Jesus came back to his glory. Because he started shaking off our sin. And underneath was the everlasting living one who cannot die, for he did not sin, he could not sin, he cannot sin, he will not sin, for he is God Almighty, God in heaven, God on earth, God in heaven above and on earth below. He is the God of creation, the God of wonder, the God of love, the God of our salvation, and he cannot die. For he was alive when they put the sins upon him, and when he went into that solitary place, he left our sins there, and he ascended on high, and he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And there he intercedes for the saints every day. He has placed his eternal blood on the horns of the altar. He has placed his blood on the mercy seat. He has placed his blood on the temple itself, cleansing it for each and every one of us for all of eternity. He is our Yom Kippur, but his atonement is every day of every day of every day of every hour of every moment. We simply need to remember that every time we sin purposefully, we sacrifice Christ over again. And the Scripture says there is only one sacrifice for sin. And if we continue sinning in the same manner, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. For we have trampled under feet that which is holy, the blood of Christ. And there is no more sacrifice for sin. I want you to look that up. I'm serious. Normally I would tell you where to go. Look it up. You will find it. It is in the book of Hebrews. Give you a hint. That narrows it down. There's 66 books. I give you one. But we need to remember, as Brother Wendell shared earlier, it's about the Spirit. It's about what we believe. That which was done before the foundations of the earth. But we know it has been done in reality. We know Christ ascended. We know he went into heaven and applied his blood there. We know he went into hell as the scapegoat because he was alive. He has always been alive. Though his physical body died, God cannot die. He is alive. That's why he raised up from the dead. And when he was there, he discussed with those people who he was. And they saw firsthand that the Christ is true. And Satan realized the war was over. Now his whole purpose, because he knows he's lost the battle, but his whole purpose now is to get us to think he really doesn't even exist. That there is no such thing as hell. There is no such place as Satan. There is no such thing as Hades and eternal suffering. Because do you know that's the greatest deception of all? Because if we truly believe that everybody goes to heaven, we'll do whatever we want to and think that God covers it all. You know, we sing that song, Jesus covers it all to him I owe. Sin had left a stain, He washed it white as snow. The reality is, if your heart's not right, that blot ain't coming out. There ain't no Clorox in that water. You and I need to understand, Jesus is our Yom Kippur. He is our Day of Atonement, and that day is here for each and every one of us when we need it. And we all do stumble and fall, amen? And I hate to say it, but yeah, sometimes it's on purpose, ain't it? We know we're doing it, and we still don't stop. But once it's done, what do you believe? Are you cut to the quick? Or do you just think, well, it won't matter? Because if you think it won't matter, believe me, it will. Because it's when we know we're cut to the quick, it's in that changing spirit. Because this is what it means to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Because God knows we're going to stumble. We're going to work at it, aren't we, Brother Bob? We might, you know, I can ask your wife this, but I'll ask you, okay? Because you won't lie to me. I know she won't, because we're talking about you. But we're going to fall, aren't we? We are going to help each other get up again, right? Correct. And we're not going to hold it against each other, are we? We're going to love each other in Christ and encourage each other to move on from that place into a new place where we would sin no more, correct? Correct. Who does that take?
Us together with Christ.
You see, folks, when we try to do it alone, all we do is hide it. But when we do it together, we have accountability. We're trying to build that in the men's group right now with the man code. Ooh, ooh. Women's ministry. But as we build that, we will have the hope of knowing that our Yom Kippur is here. And we need to walk with each other to experience that fullness. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I need Christ every moment of my day. He is my sacrifice. He is my scapegoat. And I know that. And it should break my heart every time I sin on purpose. Because I'll tell you right now, when I'm driving down the road and I'm flipping out about the guy in front of me or gal in front of me, the words come out of my mouth. The things I say and do are not right. And it so amazes me because in the moment it comes out, what's one of some of the, you guys have been with me, forgive me, and we got to pray for that individual, right? Got to pray for me too. Because I shouldn't be that wrapped up in that moment, should I? What I should be is wrapped up in Christ. That when those moments happen, they become moments of sanctification, not just for me, but for the other individual who's offended or has come against me. So I got a long way to go. And I praise God that Christ is there to be my atonement, to be your atonement. Because if I went down through and I had you each name one sin that you constantly repeat, I dare say that every one of us could name a different sin and that we would never repeat with the number of people we have in this room. How much do we need our Yom Kippur every day? Not just once a year, every day. Let us live that way. Let us live knowing that today is Yom Kippur. Today is my Day of Atonement. Today is the day Christ set me free. Because if we live in that reality, do you think we'll sin a little less? I do. Today is my Yom Kippur. I'm set right. And if I'm set right, then I can sin less every day. Until finally in Christ, I'll sin no more. Unfortunately, that day will be when this body is no more. But unto that day, Yom Kippur, and His name is Jesus. Would you pray with me today? Father God, we thank you so much that even before any of us were born, before the foundations of the earth, Jesus Christ crucified. And Lord, as we look back in time, we see here in the book of Leviticus how you made a way for your people that they would be able to stand out from under their sin. Lord, you've loved us so much. You've made such provision for us. How can anyone doubt that you truly are the God of wonder, the God of our universe, the God that loves us so much? He gave everything that we could have life. So, Father, we give ourselves to you this day, yet again, anew, understanding that this is our day of atonement, and every day is our day of atonement as you have been on that cross, and that sacrifice is once eternally done. Father, I pray that we would not need to fall upon it anymore. But I know in our frailty, and you know it too, Lord, that we will need it time and again. And by your grace and love, there you are, with your arms spread wide, speaking the words from the cross of Calvary, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So be it now, Lord, that we go from this place, giving that same grace, not accepting the sin, but accepting the sinner, that they may come to know you, your love, your salvation, in the name and person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And God's church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.